Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints. Good morning on this Friday, January 12th. You are tuned in to Words from the Word. We are rejoicing in the sovereignty and the omnipotence of God. And we're looking at that power of God the almighty power of God to do that which is impossible with man and yet possible with him. We have surrendered our wretchedness to the impossibilities of us trying to self-deny our place into the holiness and the humility of Jesus Christ. And we surrender our lives as living sacrifice, meaning we allow ourselves to be crucified for Christ, and yet the life we live in the faith of the Son of God. We live based on the power of resurrection that is present throughout the Word of God in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are to be like because we are called Christians. That means we are coming from him, through him, in him, and by him. And there's no other way that will produce the desired state of freedom. I love it. The author says emancipation from the slavery of the self-life. That's the only way to gain emancipation from the slavery of the self-life. Not I, but Christ who lives in me. And lives in me because I am crucified with him. I have reckoned myself to have died with Christ. And reckoned, I love the author shares the fact that what we have to do is to exercise our faith in the God facts, in God's facts. Excuse me, which means we must know God's facts. And so one of the things that I wanted to establish as we go forth in Word for the Word on our Friday Fellowship of Learners, in our Friday Fellowship of Learners, is that each one of our fellowship will bring to the table a promise from God out of each book of the Bible. We'll do each week, we'll do one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. So we'll obviously start in Genesis and in Matthew, looking through the word in those two books and subsequent books for the promise, for a promise of God, God's facts, those things that God has declared he will establish for us. Because I believe it's not until we understand and exercise, and the author puts it this way, he says, first, through the word, we find out what God did about our problem. Then, as we become thoroughly convinced of the fact and begin to understand it clearly, we are able to agree to reckon it truth. And as we exercise faith in God's fact, we begin to receive the benefits of that finished work in experience. And so, to receive it, the only way is to us first to reckon ourselves as wretched and surrender ourselves totally to Christ, identifying ourselves with him, and then understanding that it is through the omnipotence of God doing the impossibility that we will be brought to this place, in God. And then we will experience, our life will automatically experience, okay, the kingdom and its benefits. And so as we learn the facts, we will first then also learn the benefits. And then when we see them, how they manifest in our life, then their benefit is the evidence of the thing that God has worked in our life. What is impossible to man is possible to God. And only through God understanding the omnipotent power of God is that going to come to pass in our life. And so one of the ways the author starts out this element of spiritual growth in the self-denial is the chapter we're looking at. It's the element that we're examining this week, self-denial. He lists some things that I know I have endeavored to do. And then finding, like, why are you saying this won't work? And it's like, well, why hasn't it worked? Okay. And then the author presenting God's way. His way for us is everything his way for us in everything is the way he has already traveled, conquered, and complete in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ, which is where that resurrection power flows from him to us. And it empowers us to then realize, to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. It happened at Calvary. Our sins were paid for. Our sinfulness was dealt with, both by the ultimate death, and we receive the benefits of the work of the cross simply by reckoning on, believing in, the finished work of the Christ, not from mortification or conquest, self-denial, training, revivalism, growth, cleansing, experience. And so we're going to look at those items that the author puts forth, that these man-centered methods of bringing about this place of freedom. And we're talking freedom from sin and rest and growing in Christ. And again, always pulling on the teaching from abide in Christ, where it is God who is doing it, the husband. It is his hand that is on us, that prunes us and perfects us as he tends to us moment by moment to examine, to find anything that might be hurtful. And it is at that point the husbandman tends to the branch that has abide in Jesus Christ. And so as we look at self-denial, what were some of your first impressions of some of the man-centered methods? Let's go down. Well, you pick the one that most impacts you and to share with us. He started with mortification, conquest, training, revivalism, growth, cleansing, and experience. All man-centered methods of ways to escape the power of self in our life. The lines are open. You can take the phone off mute. And we're excited to hear from you this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
When I read that, I read it a few times. But then when I was thinking about it, I thought that all of it works hand in hand. That's just my opinion, man. But the ultimate thing is believing God's word, you know, what it says about our being crucified with him. But I just think that in believing his word that we were crucified with him, and that it goes hand in hand, because we've got to, you know, when those temptations and this and that comes up, believing and holding on and trusting God, believing and trusting his word first of all, priority, then I believe that some of the other things will go hand in hand with it. I was thinking one time they gave an example about people drinking, and mother had said, you know, use the alcohol to sit on the table, but until you pick that alcohol up and drink it, you know, you have a pause. You can sit there and you can walk around it and not touch it, but then the problem comes in is when you yield to it and you pick it up and drink it. So I know that believing and trusting God's word, because it did stand out to me. That's why I think I read it several times, because it came to my mind, then why do you fall, you know, or do we really believe? In my mind, it always comes to my mind what Apostle always say to us, is he really Lord? Is he really your Lord? Is he really Lord over your life? And it always pops up in my mind when I read something like this, you know. So do we really believe that we were crucified with him? And that's, you know,
yeah.
I can't think of the word you, but yeah.
All right. Does someone else talk it through?
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Yes. I'm so grateful that I got up. I'm sorry I'm late coming on, but as Evangelist just said, I did have to go over this a couple of times, and in reading it and the mortification, and especially that was the very first one, and that was one that I have been taught and always lean to, that is one how to help self-denial. And then as it went down the line, it just listed, and I'm going, well, sure, these are all the ways that we practice or that we use for self-denial. And then when it got in the body of it and was saying about the crucifixion, and I'm saying, well, okay, so what is, and I asked the question, after reading all of these that I have been involved in as far as self-denial, I have two questions, because I really didn't understand it. So is the author saying, are these not effective ways for self-denial, or exactly what is the tool we are aware of, the Christ dying on the cross? So what is the tool for self-denial?
And that is a wonderful question. Excuse me, and obviously one that the author wants to raise in our spirit, because he then gives us the answer. The answer is the cross. And the, it's like, you know, the author said, oh, that's a trick question that apostle is asking. Because the question, the cross, okay, I'm not sure what that is. But the problem is self-denial. The Bible never says to self-deny. It says to crucify flesh. So to crucify self. And so that's the thing that we realize for that total surrender. It's impossible for us to do that. That's what's impossible. And we can, I love it when he talked in mortification, you know, denying ourselves a certain thing for a certain time or forever. But he said the old nature will just adjust and thrive under that condition. But it's still, the self is still there, because the self is going to say, okay, I can keep living as long as I don't offend you this way. So I won't do that. But the whole point is that self is what has to die, because that's where the power is that enslaves us in sin. That's where the power is that keeps us from the benefit. And this is why it's important for us to find out what are these God facts, what are these benefits that God presents to us. And so that our flesh is like, there's just no way, you can't conquer it. You can't, you know, a believer struggle by studying or praying more. It goes, you know, through the whole thing that we're taught to do. We are told to do these things, but we cannot do them as for the motive of denying self, because we have to crucify self. So don't deny the self. It is dead. I'm going to say make it dead. It is dead. But the part is we have to understand that that happens on Calvary. That's when it happens. But now we have to, just like we believe in on Calvary, when he died, our sins were wiped away. Now we have to believe when he died, the power of sin was disconnected from us. Because nothing dead has to be denied. If you're dead in Christ, if you are, and you are alive, and you're resurrected in him, then sin cannot touch you, because you're in the Holy One, who has all power, who is the omnipotent one that makes things impossible with man possible in his kingdom. It's possible with God. And so as long as we are trying, and this is that wonderful way of keeping someone busy in sin, because we're busy doing these good things, okay? We're busy, I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to give up that, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I am not going to do it. And but rather, I am dead to that. It doesn't exist. One of the things that Elder brought up was what her mom said about the alcohol on the table, okay? And it's not that we don't have a will where we can will ourselves to quit smoking or drinking or cursing, you know. A sinner can do that. So that's not displaying the power of Almighty God. But if, like she was saying, if that bottle is on the table, and I wasn't, I didn't hear real clear what her mom said, you know, you can walk around the bottle, and there's some people, oh, I won't touch that, I won't touch it. I'll touch it. It doesn't have any effect on me because I'm dead in Christ. And I'm not saying that's what you need to do. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, as we reckon the truths that we learn about God, as we hear them and become totally convinced in them, then they are then able to deliver power, the power, appropriating the power, getting what that's always already ours, into our life And so those things will just flow and drop off. There are certain deliverances that are instantaneous, and I know this is a really touchy subject and a touchy area. And then there are some that, you know, they labor and labor and labor, and then they get there. But what the author is saying here, that the method of your conquest, the method of your training, like he says, there are favorites that have been tried and found wanting down through the age. Good Christian training and culture in the right home, the right church, right school,
mm-hmm.
have been relied on to subdue the old nature. How many people had those very things and it didn't work?
Amen.
It did not work because it does not have that power. And the only power comes is if we are dead, not denied, but dead. So what Christ told them was to take up your cross and follow me. So that cross is that fact that take up the fact that you're dead. And then when you walk with me, these things that are affecting the world, wherever you follow me, wherever I lead you, they're not going to affect you because you're dead. You have your cross as a reminder, oh, I'm dead. That worm is on the cross, that worm is dead. Now, following Christ is indicating that I am standing on God's facts that in Christ is all power. He is the omnipotent one. And when I believe that, I'm with him. So whatever he say, that's what happens. So the life I live, I don't live in my faith because I'm dead. I live in the faith, the power, and the position of Jesus Christ. And so wherever I'm going not as me, but in him. He says, the things I do, you'll do those and greater. And I know we've said it. And I know we have labored. Lord, why can't we do it? Why doesn't it happen? All of those awesome things that God did, Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth, when it's not happening in our lives. What is it? Because and that's one of the things he said on the cross. He has conquered the grave and death. Those are
mm-hmm.
two of the enemies of self that just frighten us to no end. They terrorize us, and they put us in fearful positions where we're like Peter, and we start looking on the waves that we're walking on. We can walk on water until that fear of death. And failure come upon us, and this awesome unknown, oh my God, what will happen? You'll sink to the bottom of the water. Okay, well, you know, according to Christ, he can do all things. So what's impossible with me? I mean, I can breathe down there on my own, but it doesn't matter because I'm dead in Christ. So if Christ can breathe underwater, so can I. You know, and what is the three Hebrews saying? And if not, it doesn't matter. Still, I'm going to follow him because he is the sovereign one, so he has so many thoughts that I don't have, that I have no clue. So I'm not even going to waste myself time trying to figure out why he's doing a thing. He says it, he's sovereign, and he's omnipotent, so I'm going with him. And that's that childlike nature that we have to have when we follow him. And so often, you know, they're saying, well, you know, but you got to use wisdom, you got to use, you know, good sense, you got, you know, you really don't have to use anything because you're dead. And we really don't reckon ourselves to be dead. That's a hard thing, to think of
mm-hmm.
yourself as dead, as we Christ. And yet every time we view a baptism or we even talk about baptism or we take communion, those two things are wrapped around death. And it leads to the power of resurrection, because as
mm-hmm.
you go under that water, you die. When you come up, you
mm-hmm.
and I know they say you come up wet devil. When you reckon it to communicate your belief that's in your heart that Jesus died and rose, then you don't come up a wet devil, and the old nature comes up, but it loses all its power. There's no more power in it because we have been emancipated. We've been freed from that power. And it's just like when slaves, in the times of slavery and different things, when slaves are made free, there's a law that makes them free. And that's what made us free. There was a God's promise that made us free. If you believe in my son, you will have eternal life. And, you know, you'll be a part of his blessed kingdom. And when a person is when they are free, their freedom is established, I want to say, in a book, on a law, on a whatever. But their life has to evolve into that freedom. But they're no longer influenced influenced by the old thinking that they're slaves. Now, there may be some people that want to treat them like slaves, but then they have to remind them, no, I'm not a slave. I am a free man. And then walk in that freedom. And that's what we have to do. We have to remind the enemy by that's why the Bible says resist him and he will flee. Don't deny him. Oh, he there. Absolutely. And he's looking for the old man. But you resist him by letting him know the old man is dead, gone. Ain't here no more. You know, new address, and it's dead. He's gone. And so that's how training. You can go to school for 100 years and miss Christ, because it's something we're trying to do. And we have been shown over and over and over in so many different ways in Scripture, and with the illustrations that God used in Scripture, that it is not our work to perform. He has performed it. And I love it when the author says that the cross is the only way, and the whole point is as you exercise faith. So we might say, well, me denying myself something is exercising faith. No, denying ourselves is one thing. Exercising faith means I believe something that God said, and so all of my decisions are going to be based on the fact that God said it. And
that
so it's not denying. Yes, ma'am? Say that again.
That you just want to start pleasing God now. I just want to start pleasing God, making God happy. And so I'm not going to wear any pants no more. When he come around, I'm going to put me a dress on. I'm going to start pleasing God.
Exactly. And it's not even so, well, it is. We're going to start being like him. So it's not a doing, it's a being. And because we become that, then our behavior automatically produces this new a new product. It doesn't wear pants. It doesn't offend. You know, it's patient, it's long-suffering, it's going to be, it becomes all of these things just become natural benefits. And I love it. That's how the author terms them, because these are the blessings that we have in heavenly places. And so those things no longer have an influence over and in our life. And so there are so many things that in the beginning of our emancipation, we couldn't wear pants, or you couldn't wear makeup, because it was attached to the old man, the old nature that was crucified. But then as you continue to walk, those kinds of things, you have a liberty in them, because it's the old nature isn't there, and it doesn't represent the old nature. And so it's the part that a lot of people get to that point, and then they start becoming judgmental, and they I don't want to say kind of crucify people, but criticize people, because at a certain level in your emancipation, there are liberties that you have, because the old nature is there, but those liberties you don't afford you when you first believe. I'll put it that way, because the old nature is attached to them. But once we are crucified in Christ, in that area, we can do anything we want. That's what Paul said. But his thing was, but whatever is convenient for the other people so they hear the gospel, that's what I'll do. I'm not bound by anything else because it doesn't have an attachment to the old nature because the old nature is dead. And I think that is the area, that identification. We have to identify with Christ. We have to rely on the omnipotence of God, that power, that almighty power that brings us to the position that our salvation has granted us, that inheritance. And so there is so many of these things that we do, but we do them as a man-centered method of accomplishing something without having the God-inspired benefit producing it in our life.
Overseer, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still back to the very last thing that you just said. Now that all of these man-centered things that we do, and I hear saying, and that is for self-denial. So still, why are we led to do that with the impression of that it's helping us die? When it's really not.
We don't need help. That's wonderful because you said that. You don't need help to die. Christ did it. When he said it is finished, we have to reckon that to be true. It's done.
Why do we do this stuff?
Okay.
Why do we do
it? And this is wonderful. And I'm going to share it with you. Because what happens is, if I get to that place, I'm at that place. C.S. Lewis, whatever. I get to that, and he's not that he did. And so Timothy reads my book, okay? And so he reads, and he understands. No, not that he understands, but he reads the formula that's put forth in the book. But that comes from some, not just experience, but, well, some identification. It came from faith. It was produced through purpose and acceptance and time, appropriation, identification, consecration. It came through all of those things. And so then that's the end result. But if you just look at the end result, we try to emulate it, which is why we always want, step one, step two, step three. Step one is believe. Step two is die with Christ, and step three is believe he's omnipotent and everything in his word is true. So how many people believe they could go out there and walk on water? Now, we know that Peter did. He did it. And we know that Christ did. Y'all can do it. If anything, all things are possible with God. Okay? But people don't go out there and try to walk on water. Okay, so what they try to do is to emulate the other thing that they feel, I can do that, because they believe in their own hype. Once it becomes impossible with man, that's when the old nature has understood its true position. You don't have one. I love it, the beginning of the self chapter. And just let me read that. And I understand what you're saying because I felt the same way. It's like, well, they tell us the spiritual growth and development. But that comes, it's like Evangelist said, that that's because you come to love him, and those are the benefits. You want to grow. You're going to grow. The Bible says, and Jesus grew in strength and favor with God and man. So it's a natural benefit. It's not one that you can seek after in a self mode. It's something that flows from you because of whose you are. Now, it says one of the important facts in Christian growth is the Holy Spirit's revelation to the self-life of the self-life to the believer. So first of all, Holy Spirit is going to have to reveal to you your self-life. And he's revealing this to the believer. Self is the fleshy, carnal life of nature, the life of the first Adam, dead in transgressions and sin, thoroughly corrupt before God, the life in which there is no good thing in the sight of God. Nowhere do spiritual principles mean more than here. Know thyself. So once we know ourselves, it says, but not just who you were. Know now that it is not you, but it's Christ. And so once we, yes, ma'am.
Just a quick question. Does that go back to when it said, you know, all through our life, God has taken us through a process, and that scripture, I'm not sure where it is, we are killed all the day long or something like that? Or
yes.
I can't
quote
it verbatim.
Yes.
Because of our because of our flesh, we're killed all the day long because it will rise up. But I guess until he comes, we're yet being processed because he knows that which is in us that has not totally died.
Okay, and there
can I say it like that?
No, you can't, because the minute you say that, okay,
mm-hmm.
you're not, that's not what we have to say what the word says, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say, and we have to think, we have to have the mind of Christ. Christ
mm-hmm.
said, it is finished. Now, what we want to go, and then that's part of the mandate for the church for 2018, we're going from
mm-hmm.
a hearing to a seeing. Now, we heard it because you are saved by the word and hearing the word. Now we're going to stand on it and we will see it. It is there already. It's just not, we don't have that enlightened eye to see it. So that's our prayer. Lord, we pray. That's what Paul said. I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened so you will understand what you really have. And so we already have it. So to say, well, that part ain't dead. Yeah, all of it's dead. But I just like
mm-hmm.
when they said the black people, and I won't say they said the black people are free, but whatever. Everybody was free. That's it. Now, was there a working to understand what even freedom looked like? So now
mm-hmm.
you got to understand the rules of freedom. That's the same thing. We got to understand the ways of the kingdom. And so those are things that we run hard after because we have been given something that we need to embrace and to understand. That's the job of Holy Spirit. I'm here. That's why this couldn't happen to I came, so that I'm in you, so that I will teach you these things. I'll show you. I will exercise. I'll bring it to remembrance, just like he just brought that to remembrance, that scripture. But don't add to it, and that's why God said, don't add to it, that, you know, while he's killing it. No, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you're reckoning it, while you're coming to the place of believing that, that's like if somebody said you're free, that's like a dog that has a chain, not a chain, but one of those electric fences. He know that fence is there, and every time you go there, it pops. Now, once the thing is turned off, he goes there very cautiously. There's no
mm-hmm.
electricity there. There is none. But in his mind, he doesn't know that for sure. Now, if I say, dog, it's not there, he's believing me. Now, when he goes to that place and he just walks through it because I said it's not there, then he has walked into his freedom that was there all the time. It wasn't being made or being manifested. It was just in his mind he had to come to believe what he
mm-hmm.
had heard. Or what he
has seen. I guess
and
I'm thinking more in terms of
like, you know, when he tells us to put on certain things, spiritual things, and if we don't have them, and
okay, but we have all things in spiritual places. Did he not say that? And that's how we have to do it, because that's resisting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we got all kind of conversations. But if the conversation isn't the Word of God, because that's how Christ did it. When the devil approached mm-hmm. him, everything he said, all Christ gave him was the Word of God. He didn't try to debate, well, not now because I just got here and I got to do this. None of that. No. This is what the Word of God says, and that's what we stand on. And then remember, Holy Spirit is not going to put us in a place to stand where we have not already been given the foundation of the Word to stand on. He has not set us up to fail. He is perfecting us, and he knows exactly how to do it because, again, he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And he's all these things, so he knows them, and they are his power that we're trusting in. And so we're following him based on, remember, we behind Christ. I'm with him. That's one of the scriptures, of the, one of the keys for, I think it was trust or one of the things, but it says, I'm with him, I'm with Jesus. I don't know nothing about nothing else, but I'm with him. Wherever he go, that's where I'm going. Wherever he say, that's what I'm going to listen to. And that has to become our position. Yes.
So in other words, when we are crucified with him, all of these things in his word that tells us the fruit of the spirit, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1 Corinthians, and put on these things in Colossians. All of those things are put in us at that time. You understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I understand. I do. I understand what you're saying. Absolutely. I fully understand what you're saying. And all I can say is what the Word says, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Word says you have every blessing
mm-hmm.
in heavenly places. And then the Word says, Christ says, I have overcome, so you're overcome. And then there's more scripture around that. You get it, you find it. And that's why we have to find these scriptures. And then we can
mm-hmm.
stop, I don't want to say modifying, but making them fit where I am. No, I have to be
mm-hmm.
where they are. I don't make them fit where I am because I am seated
right.
in heavenly places. Now, that's a concept
mm-hmm.
that, you know, my mind cannot, you know, because he is creating in me a clean heart and a mind
mm-hmm.
like Christ. As I walk with him, as I obey, okay, and as I
mm-hmm.
follow what his word and his spirit is leading me into the position where I can appropriate everything that belongs to me. I already got $1 million. I already got eternal life. I'm not using it
mm-hmm.
right this minute, and yet I really am. But we don't look at it that way. We figure we ain't going to use eternal life till we die. So we're using eternal
right.
life now. And so, but
so
that's a thinking.
So
with
can
the new
we
creature,
say
we,
that,
new,
I'm sorry, can we say that self-denial is faith building?
No. Self-denial is a problem. Self is dead.
Oh.
You're not denying something dead, anything. The faith building is living in Christ because I'm dead, so I don't have anything else. There is nothing else. I'm dead, okay? I don't exist anymore. This is Christ. I now live, the life I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me. So what it means now is I have to find out about him. That's why I say we have to, what has he said? What is this kingdom like? I wake up in this place. that's new is speaking a language I don't understand. It has laws and rules that I don't know. It has a concept and principles and precepts that I'm not aware of. And that's Holy Spirit saying, I'm here, I will teach you. So it's just like a child when he's born. Yes.
Overseer, is it possible? Because I guess as I'm listening to what people are saying, the issue of self-denial, you have fast, you have self-denials in ministry, and I don't know whether it's the terminology. So I guess the question that may be asking is self-denial based upon those concepts, spirituals, a spiritual discipline. So other than that, why do we fast? Why do we have these denials?
Right.
These I will call them seasonal denials in our spiritual growth and development. Are all of those biblical or principles wasted? I have to put you
good.
I don't think that. Thank you, Apostle. I don't believe that he's speaking of fasting here.
Well, I thought that in that modification was a part of fasting. I thought that was it, kind of like explained in that modification. Maybe I misunderstood that.
Let's read what it says. It says, so they deny all. I'm sorry, go ahead, Elder.
No, go ahead. When you finish reading it, I just had a comment. What I was going to say is that not only in reading this, but in listening to the conversation, to me it seems like one of the challenges or one of the things that we're getting tripped up on is the motivation. When I read this and I'm looking at that, it seems as though all of the things that he is saying that we do routinely for self-denial, when you say it in the light of that the work is already finished, that there is nothing negative in any of these things that he is mentioning, the way by self. I mean, negative in and of themselves. That's like saying, like, money is bad. Money is not bad, what you do with money and the love of money, that kind of thing. That the mortification of the flesh,
right,
the conquest and all those things, in and of themselves, those activities are not necessarily negative activities. It's just that those activities don't lead you to a place in Christ where you've been absolved, that the work has already been done on Calvary. So whatever we do in our training, in our growth, in our whatever, we do that out of our gratitude and out of our obedience to what has already happened, out of the obedience of the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can't attain it by revival or cleansing or the experiences and all of those things. That doesn't get there, because what gets us to the place union in Christ is faith in the finished work of Christ. And then that would be it. And then we live this life out as an example by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, which will make us do some training, which will make us do some mortification of the flesh,
exactly,
those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But that is the end result. That is not that. That is something like a remnant of what has already happened. That the training doesn't get you closer to God. You might have a better knowledge, but what gets us in that one-on-one relationship is our faith. Is our faith in Christ. It's, in the first paragraph, it uses the word called baldrum. And that word means it's just a baldrum of self. And that means like four types: bondage slavery, legal slavery, just being caught up in self. And I looked the word up just because I didn't know what it meant. And I was wondering what it meant. And when you look at those four types of what that word means, then we can see how we can get on that treadmill of, I got to go to church, I got to go to church. So I go Monday, I go Wednesday, I go Friday. I'm obviously doing better than Sister Susie, who only go on Monday, because I'm mortifying my flesh, because every day I'm there. I'm praying, you know, those kinds of things, because that's us striving, as opposed to if we look at the example of the penitent thief on the cross, that this day you will be with me. He didn't do nothing except Christ. And so I say that nothing very guardedly.
It is.
But you understand what I mean with that. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Well stated.
Yes, absolutely. And it's that first paragraph of the lesson that brings the mindset or that prepares the mindset for what's coming after. And he clearly says, there are some man-centered methods. Man-centered methods. They're not centered around Christ. They're centered around man. And the reason they're centered around man, honestly, is because someone at some point was Christ-centered and they presented this. But there is you can't just take the prize without doing the work for it. And I don't mean the prize that I'm calling is ours. But it's just like, if you see the end result, it doesn't happen because you followed instructions. You had to go through some things to get to that end result. Whereas people see it and they want the end result. So they figure they can then reproduce this. And it's not reproducible because where it came from was Holy Spirit. And so we have seen it and we have had leaders who have experienced it through Holy Spirit. And this is the crux of the whole thing. And your leader will try to disciple you into the way of Christ. We don't want to be disciples. We just want the way of Christ. So all the other things you say we should do as a leader, we don't do them, okay? Because we're looking for these end results as opposed to looking for the relationship with Christ, because that's the only way this stuff comes out, the relationship. But because people want to make it academic and educational, if you will, just so I get this knowledge intellectually, it's not going to work because it's relational. And so the things that make this mortification, conquest, and growth and training, cleansing, again, all of these things, we cannot do this with the old nature. The old nature cannot cleanse itself. It cannot grow. The old nature cannot grow a new nature. The old nature has to be dead. And I think that that's the thing that has to come before we can have the relationship where, oh, I'm following Jesus. I got to be there. I can't follow him my way. And that's what we try to do. And it's like until you stop and you reckon yourself. And that word, we need to all look it up 100 times. What reckon means? Reckon it to be true. You got to reckon it to be true. And then there's nothing else your life can produce. When you reckon something that Christ has said to be true. Yes.
And would you say again, or tell us again, the definition of reckon?
No, you have to look it up.
Okay. All right.
That's why I'm saying yes. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, I understand that.
I'm just saying that because as you do, Holy Spirit is going to get that. There again, you say, will you give me the definition? You have to, with Holy Spirit, he has to teach you that definition. That's it. That is the crux. It's not, I can't. No, I can tell you my experience. And then if you use that as the standard, it may be wrong for you. So Holy Spirit and you will sit down, and when he gets through teaching you what that reckon means, you'll have it. That's why sometimes you can teach and teach and teach, and people don't get it. It's like you can't get where I am until you go where I am. And where we are is where we are in Christ. Where is our relationship in him? at what state. So it may be a fifth grader. No, I won't say fifth. Yeah, I'll say a fifth grader. He wants to do surgery. You know, somebody coming out of doctorate school can do. Well, you can't do that now. You can read the book. Excuse me, by fifth grade, you can't read the book. Okay? But there's so many other things that you have to put in you that has to be not put on you because it's in you. It has to be appropriated by you. You're going to have to put on.
Mature.
And mature. And thank you, Apostle. To get to the place where now you can do what you read, you know, 20 years ago. Oh, I
well,
can do it now.
Okay, so when you're saying, even when you say the word that you have to mature, in order to mature, don't we have to go through, we're dead, okay, we're saying we're dead. Are we really dead? We're saying we're dead. And then you're saying you have to mature. But in order to mature, don't I have to be taught the teaching? Don't I have to do some
That's
of the marketing?
No. You have to be mm-hmm. taught. You're absolutely right. That's what the Holy Spirit's got. He is your teacher. So, again, that's establishing that relationship. And just like a baby, when he's first born, he was not existing before. Now he's born, and he has to mature. The way he matures is through those that God put around him or her to bring him to the place that his destiny is calling for him to be. And that's exactly what Holy Spirit does.
Okay,
that's
well, I think I can see maybe some of maybe my problem is because I'm just trying to put in trying to clear in my mind that the author is not saying, well, I don't know.
No. Go ahead.
No, I think if we can hear what Elder Deborah said, I think what we're doing is we're making his statement absolute and not the scripture that it is based on. Absolute. He's giving some examples. If we hear the process that Elder Deborah stated and what Overseer is saying, the absolute is that every day we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That not I but Christ, we die daily. In that daily dying process, what the author is suggesting is that we don't have to deny ourselves to die. Denying myself will not crucify my flesh. So the things that we use to deny ourselves to make us feel like we're in a better place, the author is suggesting that that is for naught, if that is your reason or motive behind doing it. So what
no.
Overseer said, no. Okay.
No. I said okay. I hear you. It makes. I hear you.
Oh, so when overseer and the author, whatever the combination is, let me get that note back out. Make the illustration. Don't look at. We have to understand the difference between dead and denial. Okay, and I think once we understand that, we'll be able to better embrace what's being said. In our maturing process, there are steps that Holy Spirit will take us to mature us that somebody else may be using in a self-denial process, two different motives. Using it for self-denial is ritualistic. When Holy Spirit is taking you through it in your process of maturity, a maturity within a dead flesh yields a completely different result. So we die. Now we need to know what it looks like to live dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not what it looks like to live dead.
Yes.
Okay.
Even better, to be alive in Christ. Because we have a life. It's in Christ, though.
That's the scripture.
It is.
Yes.
It is. It's in Christ now. And I think sometimes those are the things that they're concepts that even with the relationship, having the relationship with Christ, understanding the word, which is why I'm sure God wants us to find his word, his promise in every book of the Bible, so that the faith facts will then be the foundation that our thinking will stand on and that will transform our thinking. And so it will bring us into a place where it's not just experience and things from the past, but it is what is alive in the Word of God that will build the place
maybe
we stand on.
Maybe there's a choice.
Yes.
It'd be like your choice, I choose to do it, instead of being made, I choose to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's part of reckoning. That's part of what reckoning means.
I decide to do that. I decide to do it.
Yep, there you go.
I had to keep reading and studying, but as Apostle and the others you were saying, it was like to study what self-denial was, to study what pain, the stuff, and then the scriptures related to it, and it made more sense, and then I got more clarity, even as Elder Deborah and all you all were speaking, and it just brought, more information to the forefront and more understanding, so thank you.
Because I know when I originally started reading, I thought, okay, where is he going with this? And then I saw he said the only way is the cross, and that's God's way. And so it's so much of the cross that has not been, I'm not going to say revealed to us, but we've not exposed ourselves. No, not that either. But there's a lot more of at the cross that we need to understand what really happened on that day. What really happened at the cross. And we've been taught that over eons of years. And still there are mysteries that we don't know. And once Holy Spirit reveals them to us, it just becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And he's going to, and it's going to. And we just have to be willing to allow him to be willing to make us willing to know what it is. And this is the part that I love, because the statement in the beginning of this chapter, it's a long sentence, I'll just start with the first. When a believer begins to discover something of the awful tyranny of the self-life, or has been endlessly struggling against that tyranny, he becomes intensely concerned about the denial of self with the resulted freedom to rest and grow in Christ. And that's the key. We struggle because we're trying to get to the result and the freedom of resting and growing in Christ. And this is where God is trying to tell us, you don't have to have that endless struggle, because you're resting in me now. Now, let us, Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father, show you how we've done this for you already. Okay? And that's why he puts, this is what man says, but this is what I say. This is the cross. So let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to where it started and was finished. And now he can give us a understanding or a more complete understanding of what was finished. We still don't fully know what was finished, I'm sure, but whatever. But as we get in relationship and as we go and grow, those things will be open up to us. And so we can have a confidence and a peace that it's okay. He's saying it's okay because you know the cross, because you're here, because Holy Spirit has brought you to this place where he is revealing the heart and the hand of God to you. And we don't need to, one of the things that are going on, honestly, in Laborers, and I admonish every member of Laborers for Christ to find out what's going on Wednesday night. And to know that part of that mandate, part of that prophetic portal that God is pouring down over Laborers for Christ ministry, okay, is transforming its people and its purpose on the church. And so understanding this stuff in this season is paramount. And Holy Spirit is here to do that. And we need to take advantage of it. And so we need to be able to, we're trying to get a picture when there's a part of the puzzle that we don't have. And that puzzle has been presented at a different time or at a different place. And so we have to make sure we get those things so that we can process, so that the process we're in becomes the powerful, effective bonding of the body of Christ that God intends for it to do. Any more questions, concerns, insights, input?
I have a question, Minister Paulette. Can you just repeat the assignment?
Yes.
And then I was going to say that, my question was earlier, I think you told me, though, that when we become the new creature in Christ, that we are clothed with the traits of a new creature in Christ, but we have to come to believe that and trust God that we are, that he already enclosed us with those traits.
Yes.
Because that was just one I was speaking to. When Minister James said, well, why do we keep doing things? Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking that these traits that he speaks of, that when we become a new creature, that we're already enclosed with them. He's already clothed us with them, but we have to come to trust and believe that we are and that we have them already.
Exactly, yes. And that's appropriate. We appropriate when we have a spiritual need. And that's wonderful because I think we need to look at need and want. He said that my people, they want for no good thing. And yet he said, I will supply your every need. The scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yet, whatever you need, he said he will give us. And so that appropriation of what is needed, when it is needed, we get it. Now, we may not have it because it's not what in this season is God is perfecting in our life. You may not be at that place that you want to be in to be at, but he's at the place. But then you should only want, no, not you should want. You should want for no good thing because we have to trust his sovereignty to be perfecting me where he wants me to be perfected. So it really is all about trust and all about faith. And so one of the things I encourage you to get a notebook, first of all, for this year, and truly to start looking through Scripture and not necessarily get the ones that you know, because that's kind of cheating. That's cheating us, but pull out the ones that the Holy Spirit leads you to. And we're going to find there's a promise in every book in the Bible, and there's obviously more than one, and a lot of them. And there may only be one, if one or two. But the fact is, there is one in every book of the Bible, and that's what we want to present. And so even if we don't do the whole scripture, just lifting the scripture, we'll have, you know, depending on how many people's on the line, everybody giving their scripture and then, you know, reading one or two to become a part of our God, what do they call it? God's fact. These are God's facts. Not facts that we kind of interpreted from sermons we've seen or people we listen to. We want to look in the Word. And it says, as we exercise faith in God's facts, we will begin to receive the benefits. That's the only thing. Exercise faith in God's facts. We want to know what these facts are in this season. I believe Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us these facts. So that is the assignment that I would like to give everybody that's on Blog Talk on Friday Fellowship of Learners, so that we get the full benefits.
Overseer, are you asking us to get one from the Old Testament and New, or just
yes.
each one,
yes.
each person to get two?
Yes.
Okay. Can I also, I just wanted to add a scripture that popped in my head while you were talking was that, and I want to say it's Romans 5 and 8, but I may not be quite sure, but while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us, that when we look at the whole idea of self-denial, that when we remind ourselves that while we were yet in our sins, he died for us,
mm-hmm.
that might make it easier to kind of parse that out, because he did it before we did any of those things that the author identifies as self-centered approaches. You know, when we think of that scripture in Romans, that Christ died for us before we did any of those things, to me kind of helps position that those things won't get us there and aren't needed to get us there. They are needful, but they are not needed to get us where we need to be in relationship with Christ, because the mediator is Christ Jesus. So it's the whole idea of faith, you know, for step one.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these other things, I won't say what would be added, but all of these other things can be necessary steps along our journey of growth and maturity, I guess, you know, in the things of God as we move by being led by the Holy Spirit. But, yeah, this is an interesting chapter.
Yes. Amen. And that's a kind of God's fact. That's a God's fact that we want to look at. And then, and as God brings it to you, as God, Holy Spirit brings it to you, it's for a reason. And so that's the thing that we can sit and meditate on, you know, and get. And I encourage you, I really encourage you to get a notebook and write these scriptures down and what Holy Spirit gives you as it relates to scripture. You have to write a book. It may just be a word, whatever it is, because we want our lives to be purposeful for the kingdom. And I think that when we are more focused on that, when we are looking to that and not really looking around at the impetuous speed and the waves that are raging, we'll see a peace and a purpose that walks us in a rest straight to Christ. And that's a wonderful place to dwell and be in. And so those are the things I believe he is putting in place around us so that we can walk on water and walk on the faith of the God's fact. God said, come and abide, and that we can. You know, I'll never forget my grandmother asked me if I sinned or something. I went, yeah, everybody does. And she said, well, then you ain't saved. It's like, what? But I understand now what she was saying, because if I was dead to Christ, dead men don't sin. The sin has no effect. But that's where she was after 70 years of living. I was 20. I wasn't there yet. But it was a seed that's planted. And now I am unable to understand what she was talking about. not debate, not proclaim something. Only that's what the Word of God said. And that's when she said it, I looked it up. I looked right where it was, and that's where it said. It's just what it said. I wasn't there. I didn't understand it. I still trusted that I was saved, and I still depended on God to do whatever needed to be done for me to be wherever it was he needed me to be, because I knew with me it was impossible. But I believe that with God, all things are possible, because so man can live without sin. And so I just get said it, and that's just it. Do I know, but I believe because God said it, and God alone is able to make that possible. And not only is he willing, not only does he want to, but he's willing to, and he will. And so that's how, you know, we go forward. Not in perfection, but in perfecting, as he is perfecting all things concerning me. Amen? Any other insights, inspiration, encouragement? Thank you for your wisdom.
No, bless you all. I have definitely enjoyed the Friday Fellowship of Learners Ministry. It definitely promotes growth. So, you and
yes.
That book, amen.
Praise God. And people, we're on 12. We
Man.
Don't have much longer to go. So another 5-6 weeks, and we'll be done. And so we do want to be in prayer as to what is the next thing, you know, we want to start looking at. So I know that
absolute surrender.
Yeah, I got the book in my hand, and that's what I was getting ready to say, Elder. Elder Roberta and I cheated because I know we about done. But you know what? I could do it like 5 times. So that may be, and that way you can start getting it. And by the time we're done, we'll flow right into this, and that will be, that's praise the Lord. That's the answer to that.
Amen. Amen.
So you said we're just going to chapter 12?
We're going to chapter 11. Chapter 12, the cross.
Oh, okay.
How many more weeks again?
It's only 18 weeks.
Oh, we're going to 18 then.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Yes.
18.
We're doing the whole book, right?
No, see, some people have the complete green letters. But this is just the green letters. So that's just...
Okay. That's part one is 18 chapters?
Yeah.
The part one is 18 chapters. Part two gets you to 28. Part three gets you to 39. Part four goes through 54. And part five goes through 71. They're actually 71 if you do the complete green letter thing. But I think we're only doing the 18 part one. They're five parts.
We were only doing... Yes.
Okay.
Now
okay.
We can
so
do the whole
one
thing.
18.
Yeah,
no,
we,
no.
That
I think this
what...
is good.
Huh? What'd you say, Apostle?
Oh, no. Just, you know, enjoying the process.
I mean, we can. I don't mind doing the whole thing. I don't know that everybody has the complete green letters. They only had the green letters, which is the first one.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it will be 2 years.
Chapter 18.
And I mean, like I said, I don't mind. Because I got the book. We would be in there for at least 2 years. So after 18, we'll go to absolute surrender. And then maybe by then, other people will get the rest. And we'll look at the rest of some of the green letters.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
I pray everybody be blessed and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And enjoy your worship.
Amen. Have a great day.
Amen. 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 You all.
All right.